As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob Benedict.
And I'm the man who does the podcast with Rob Benedict, and I go by the name assigned to me at birth, and that is Richard Spay Jr.
That's right, and we're talking about Season 3, Episode 2, The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah, no, they're better than all right, Rob. They're really, really, really good.
Actually, they're really, really, really creepy.
Yeah, sure as Sheboygan, Wisconsin
they're actually
are.
Actually not all right. They're not all right at all.
No, they're all weird.
Hey, before we get into this summary, remember to follow the podcast on Spotify or Apple.
Right,
man. And follow it on Twitter. And follow it on Instagram at SPN Then and Now.
It's a bummer we don't have a Patreon. We should get one of those.
We do.
What?
We've got a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/SPN Then and Now.
Well, are we putting up clips of the show?
Yeah, join up. You can be a member of our fan club.
Oh, my gosh.
Consider it like that way.
Okay, I'll do it.
By the way, we were looking at the data. I say tomato, on Apple, and most of you aren't listening to the very end. All of our bloopers are at the end of the show, after the credits, and some say, and when I mean some, I mean me and Rich, say it's the best part of the podcast.
That's a very Trump thing to say. You know, people are saying
you know,
the closing
saying,
credits.
Everyone's saying the closing
everybody's
credits.
Everybody's saying. I like the fact that you're looking at the data on Apple, you nerd.
People are saying it's better than Lincoln's.
Better than Washington. By NFTs.
Washington's bloopers. But yeah, it's super fun. You get to see all of our mess ups. It's at the very end of the show. So listen all the way to the
basically
end.
It's all innuendo and me laughing.
That's right. And a couple of F-bombs.
Yes.
All right, let's get into it.
Yep.
The kids are all right. The brothers hear about a grizzly death in Cicero.
Oh no, a grizzly bear? Was it a grizzly bear?
We don't know yet.
So a grizzly bear died in Cicero, Indiana.
That's right. In the end. Where a man died by falling on a power saw.
Which is impossible. Ah.
Ugh, it's the worst. So however, Dean has an ulterior motive. An old flame of his, Lisa Braden, lives there. And since he's a horn dog on a mission, he wants to go. She once gave him, he says, the, quote, bendiest weekend of his life over 8 years ago.
I got to tell you something. Dean needs to keep it in his denims.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's on the loose.
Keep it in your Levi's, son.
Oh, man. Just a horn dog.
There's so much jealousy when you say that. Like, I say it like a guy, it's a cautionary tale, and Dean's making bad decisions, and you're like, man, what I wouldn't give. I mean, I can just hear it in your voice.
That's true. Guilty. Dean drops Sam off at the motel and heads to Lisa's house to possibly reconnect. When he arrives, Lisa's having a birthday party for her 8-year-old son. Okay, how creepy is it that, hey, we had a crazy sexual night 8 years ago without warning. I'm here. We doing this?
That's also creepy. And then, hey, there's a birthday party for a kid here. I'm staying.
Yeah, right?
I'll stick around.
So she's having a birthday party for her 8-year-old son, Ben, and Dean does the math, and he's suspicious if Ben might be his actual son, especially after observing some striking similarities to himself. He likes AC/DC, cars, and playing with, quote, chicks. Two women admire Dean from a distance.
So in other words, young Dean is also cancelable. For several reasons.
Yes, exactly.
No, and also, you got to love how they dress that kid, just like Dean. It's great.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Lisa talks to another mom about how her daughter, Katie, just doesn't seem right. Dean shows up after the mom leaves and tries to ask if he is Ben's father. Lisa denies it, and they watch Katie and her mom awkwardly interact in the yard.
Right.
Meanwhile, Sam sits in a diner when the mysterious woman who helped them battle the seven deadly sins suddenly shows up. She knows a lot about who Sam is, such as his abilities and surviving the showdown with the other people with special powers. She tells him to look into all the deaths of Mary's friends. Mary meaning Mary Winchester.
His mom, yeah.
Finally, she tells them there is a job in town before she leaves. Suddenly, Dean calls. There have been a number of strange deaths in the suburban neighborhood, so she's right. There is a job. Sam investigates the scene where the man died from falling on the power saw. He notices red markings by the window. A little girl is giving him an eerie stare through the window, and the mom has a strange bite mark on the back of her neck. At the park, Dean helps Ben confront a bully. This upsets Lisa, but earns Dean the trust of Ben. Creepy kids stare at Dean as Ben and Lisa leave.
Wait a minute. So when Sam goes to the house where the guy died in the power saw, wouldn't that be the same? Is that not the main woman we watched the whole time and her little creepy girl that wants ice cream all the time?
Well, first of all, they're divorced, right? So that was his house. It was different.
Oh, right. And so he's remarried.
I guess so.
With a different daughter. I'm confused.
I'm confused, but I know that they're divorced because at the beginning he drops her off.
Right. No,
like,
he's divorced.
I don't want to stay at daddy's.
But there's another little girl. So was he fooling around on his wife and had another kid at the exact same time? Because that little girl.
Or was that
the same
a different?
Age.
There was. I think that was it. No, that was a different thing.
That's a different family, right?
Yeah. Sam goes to investigate the scene where something else happened. Like someone fell off a ladder and
that's
died.
What it
someone
was.
Else died.
He was changing a light bulb and.
Yeah.
And he's changing a light bulb inside the house and gets flung out the window or something weird like that.
Yeah. And then he sees blood on the house.
Yeah.
It turns out it's not blood.
Right. That's what it is.
Okay. Thanks. I'm glad we figured that out. Katie's still creeping her mom out to the point where the mom is locked in the bathroom and Katie is rattling the door.
Violently, I might add. Not your normal kid rattling of a door.
Right. It's terrifying. Earlier, the mom caught Katie's reflection and saw her with matted, wet skin and distorted features.
Yeah.
The mom tells Katie she's going to take her for ice cream, but instead straps her down to the car and pushes the car into a lake. She returns home upset. And guess what? Katie's sitting at the counter.
That's a horrific sequence, by the way. Horrific.
Yeah, horrific. Dean meets Sam back at the motel. Sam believes he's figured it out. A changeling has infested the town, killing the fathers and feeding on the mothers. Dean insists they go check on Ben, but by the time they get there, he's already a creepy kid. Sam sees the same red marks and realizes it's one of the houses still under construction. The brothers find the house. All the children are being... Well, how he discovers is the red marks are dirt, the red dirt from the house under construction.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not blood. It's dirt.
I thought it was blood.
I think it's red dirt.
Okay.
So we realize when one of the houses is under construction. So the brothers find the house. All the children are being held captive inside. And Sam and Dean fight the changeling, burn it with a makeshift flamethrower, killing it. Sam returns Ben to Lisa. He explains the changelings and his job. She reminds Dean that Ben isn't his son. But she tells Ben wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Dean. Back at the motel room, Sam is again speaking with the mystery woman. Sam says that everyone who has known Mary seems to have been wiped off the face of the earth. She reveals that she is a demon, but she wants to help Sam figure it out and also help save Dean.
Why?
Intriguing ending to that one.
Yeah,
that episode.
Very.
And I see a light. I see a light that says maybe Sam, maybe Dean doesn't die at the end of this season.
You don't think?
Maybe there's a world. Now, go with me, but maybe there's a world where Dean makes it all the way through season 15.
You think?
Or at least halfway.
I don't think so, buddy. I think that's wishful thinking, but, you know, okay.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Creepy kid through the roof, all the creepy kids in this episode. Thoughts, Richard Speight?
I got to be honest with you. I loved this episode. I thought the creepy factor with the kids was unbelievable. I thought the drama, you know, the fact that moms were freaked out by their own kids, the actresses were playing such great, intense turmoil with that. The opening teaser scene was as gross and as grisly as I've ever seen.
Oh, really? It's super gross.
And I just thought that the main little girl was awesome. The main little girl's mom was awesome. And her having to put the kid in the car and roll it into the water was brutal to watch. And the actress did such a good job. and the effect on the little kids when you figured out what they were, and they you got a flash of them with that round suck face mouth with all the fangs. I just thought it was really one of the scarier, legitimately scarier episodes I've ever seen. I thought it was great. And the, you know, like I think you mentioned, we've done a creepy kid count occasionally. Well, we just blew that number out of the water. Every kid in this thing is a creepy kid.
Yeah. No, it's really great. And the acting is really great. The moms are both, all the guest stars are great. I mean, Katie Cassidy is great. And Cindy is great. And then the mom of the disturbed little girl is terrific.
Right.
She spends the whole episode in pain and anguish. And really also funny stuff with Dean and the kid.
Great. So I'm giving this, I'm gonna dive in with my official review, Robbie. You can put this in in the archives and you type it in ink, because this is for real. This is sticking.
Okay.
I'm giving this episode a full Soldier Boy beard. Soldier Boy coming out of the cryogenic chamber. The crazy beard that Jensen Ackles really grew for the show, The Boys, as Soldier Boy. I'm going full Soldier Boy for this
episode. So you're doing Jensen Ackles' actual beard from the beginning of his turn on the show, The Boys, as Soldier Boy.
Correct. Coming out of the chamber, ready to be freed and unleashed on planet Earth as we know it, Soldier Boy. And that crazy ass beard of his. So I'm going full beard, Soldier Boy beard.
I really enjoyed the episode a lot too. I thought it was really creepy. And honestly, it's one of those episodes where I was honestly into it, kind of lost in it, you know, for 45 minutes. And so I'm going to give it the Jensen Ackles beard that he always has at the end of the summer before he starts shooting. When we were on Supernatural, the boys would stop shaving. And they'd grow a beard out in the summer. So right before we start shooting, he'd come. Now, when Jensen Ackles when normal people grow a beard, when Richard Spate grows a beard and he doesn't shave, it's a bit ratty, right? You gotta get in there with a shaver and really clean it up. Jensen Ackles just has the ability to grow the perfect beard. It trims itself and it smells like heaven.
Well, I haven't been close enough to get a whiff. But hey, what about what is Jared? Does Jared end up growing a big beard for the off season? I'm trying to remember.
Jared too grows a great facial hair, but his doesn't get as long. His winds up looking sort of like, you know, a really cool, nice and neat, sort of just, you know, unshaven look.
He must be secretly trimming is what we're saying.
Either that or he can control it with his mind.
One of those choices is obvious, and the other one is he's shaving. Okay. All right. I'll go with that. So, Jensen got a lot of Ackles props in this review.
Hey, next time we give a review, let's do it based on Jared's haircuts. That's what we could do.
Too many choices.
You know what I mean?
All right. There you go. Which basically, you know, to simplify this whole thing, I think you just got two full beards, right? I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Two full beards.
Yeah,
we really different analogies really here, but definitely two full beards from the review.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what's funny? When we first started doing the beards, we both had full beards. But now, you've got a healthy mustache.
Thank you.
And I don't have anything.
No, you got nothing. Bald as a cue ball.
That's how long we've been doing this. Yeah. We're just not even, we don't even look the same anymore. We've grown up, Rich.
Changed. All right, that was awesome. Now, Robbie, it's a shame no interview for this episode, so let's go ahead and sign off and say goodbye to everybody.
Not true. Bye. Not true. We've got director Phil Segrisha.
What?
In fact, here it is right now. We're so delighted to have back with us Phil Segrisha, who directed 45 episodes of Supernatural. You can see his most recent work on The Boys, as well as the upcoming show Gen V, The Boys spinoff. But right now, we're here to talk about another classic Segrisha episode, Season 3, Episode 2, The Kids Are All Right. Phil Segrisha, how are you, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having me back, guys. It's always fun.
Dude, let's just get right into the fact that this is a creepy-ass episode of television. Man, I mean,
you know, when we started,
got my own children running around the house while I'm watching it, I'm like, man, I hope they're all my children. And then I have been raising
Daddy,
changelings.
Daddy, play with me. Daddy, I love you, Daddy.
God, it's so creepy.
We used to do a creepy kid count for this episode when we started doing this podcast. This is it's like off the charts.
So I have a question. Right? Just out of the gate, I want to talk to you about that, because this show relies on you having good, creepy kids.
Yeah,
you know, especially the little girl. But like, how was the casting process for that? Because it's not just her. Obviously, she's the big one. But you have little Dean has to be good at it. You have like neighborhood kids who are kind of standing around being good at it. Like, how did that go about, A, finding them? And B, then how do you direct that?
Well, I mean, Heike is our casting director. And, you know, she always brought an A game, you know, and there was a small group of small people, you know, that were actually very talented. I had the good fortune to be in the rotation for this. Nicholas, who plays Ben, was wonderful. And Margot, I think it was the little girl. You know, they just brought it to the table. It was super easy in some ways. And you get so fortunate with casting that if you get somebody that isn't going to help, then you've got your problems and you've got your work cut out for you. You know, but these two, especially, and the other kids were good too. I mean, they didn't have any lines, but, you know.
They didn't matter. They're standing there. Yeah. They were creepy as hell. Like Cindy Samson opens the door and there's those three kids are standing there and are, you know, I'm like, good Lord. I definitely feel like those kids have been to my house for play dates, by the way, just for the record. But the main little girl, is it Margot? Is that that actress's name?
Margot, yeah.
Okay. She's so good. And the woman who plays her mom is so good.
Catherine
Rowe. She's so good.
I mean, again, if you get your casting right, your work as a director is simplified because you let them kind of run, not wild, but you let them do their thing. Kathleen was wonderful. I mean, she was so, it was so hard. I rewatched it and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. She was in this kind of pain all the time, you know?
Dude.
The whole episode.
I mean, her the worst death. Okay, at this point, it's episode one or episode two of season three. By far the most grisly death I've seen in any Supernatural episode. Yeah. By far.
Death
it's
by
the
table
first
phone.
One where I was like, no, oh no. And as soon as the saw turned on, like, ugh. I'm like, that's not going to go well. And then, you know, you just picture Johnny Cash's older brother. But then, like, you immediately, then when it goes on, I'm dead serious. I turn it on. I'm watching it. That sequence happens. The guy ends up on the saw in the most grisly, gross
on his back
ever. And I'm literally saying to myself, or out loud, I don't remember, what half animal, what monster directed this and would do this to me? Because this is uncalled for. And of course, your name then pops up. Of course, it's Phil.
Of course. That table saw scene was one of the most fun. The best part of it was the sound effects in the mix stage when the saw gets stuck.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
He gets stuck on his back and you know, his rib cage or whatever. He's just I think it was, you know, it's one of those things that you just go, this can't happen and it won't happen. And the guy's an idiot. And, you know, you're telling the guy the whole time, just walk out. Just let it run. Let it run. Go into the kitchen. You'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But no.
So did the prosthetics department come in and do help craft that vision?
Yeah, the back part, you know, the one where they actually, you see the back hit the blade.
Yeah.
That was, you know, a thing, and it had a ton of blood come in. And then
we
built a prosthetic that would burst open on the guy's chest, and he just lay there. Then, you know, blood in the mouth and all that. But, you know, a lot of it is sold in the sound effects.
Yeah, it's sold in a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty,
sure.
Pretty horrible, though, I gotta say.
I have a beef with the police force of Cicero, Indiana, where they literally left that crime unsolved. Who ended up with their back on a table saw? Like, you know, wouldn't that immediately be, we need to lock down this town and figure out what's going on? Like, nope, I guess Dave just tripped.
Yeah, but there was no there was no footprints, there was no fingerprints, there was no, he just slipped on his back.
Just happened, Rich. It just happened.
Your Honor, I object.
Just go with it, Rich. I want to talk about Little Dean, because I thought that was really funny, creating a Little Dean. Was that fun to do? And was there anything that Jensen was like, hey, you know, I think it'd be funny if you did, and this is something I do, he can do? Or was that just all scripted?
It was more asking Nicholas to watch Jensen. So just watch what he does and how he walks. And, you know, we purposely dressed him in a very Dean-looking outfit with multiple years and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the eating the cake, looking at the mom and looking at the daughter. Yeah. There was more. We did a bunch more. And it just didn't make the cut.
Yeah, oh, really?
We did other stuff. And it was, I forget what we just had a bunch of little runner things that were like similar things. Like the way he was talking to the little girl was like very expressive, like Dean would do. And so it was quite fun to play that, you know. And Jensen plays it so right, you know, perfectly, especially when he's like starting to put the math together and he's like eight years. This was 8 years ago.
Oh, that's a funny story.
You know, and then when he goes in and asks her and he's like, no, I'm not asking. Is he? You know, it's
also when he turns and when he starts to figure it out and he turns and goes into the trash can, he's like clank, you know, he's suddenly not smooth at all.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been really funny this season so far. Jensen can be such a funny. He really does comedy well.
Yep.
Now let's go back to Kathleen Monroe. You talk about the state of drama. You watch that actress who did an amazing job, and you do think, poor actress. Now you have to be in a state of absolute disarray for the entire show. But that scene of her sending her daughter into the drink is awful. Even though you know, or you think you know, that the little girl's a monster because of the rearview mirror shot, which, by the way, is the only time in watching any of these episodes I've ever paused, gone in to find JC, interrupt her. I'm like, I need you to watch this because nothing creeps JC out more than creepy kids, right? And like creepy baby dolls and stuff. And I'm like, check this out. And she watched it. And then, that's that kid with the,
in the mirror
hole in the fountain. Yeah. And she's me like, why did you do this to me? Why I can't unsee that. I'm like, I just want you to know what I'm doing for work. And Phil did it to me. So now he's done it to you.
I'm going to spread the love.
But how do you sit? Like, what a tough scene. I guess I don't have a question. I'm just saying it's a tough scene for the mom to then.
I want to know if you really sunk that car.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was real.
And then did you have a chain on it and pull it out?
Was in it. No.
What?
Up to a point she was. There is a whole section of cables and track actually that got erased. There you go. I gave up a secret.
Damn it.
Wow. We really did sink the car. It was really, she did all that you saw, that action is real. It's just we had to be able to pull it back out. But we did all the close-ups of the girl with the car actually sliding down the ramp, not into the water, all that. Because the fun part with those scenes is the slower you make it, the more hard it is to watch.
I know.
Oh, man. It's awful.
And the poor mom.
For the listeners at home, Richard's got his head cradled in his hands.
Because it's
an
awful sequence, man. You feel that actress sold it because she was so torn apart.
She knew she was
killing
the wrong
girl.
She knew she was doing the wrong thing, but she had to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
A fat lot of good it did her. But releasing the brake, and the little kid wanted ice cream, and she sends the kid into the drink.
She had to get her ice cream.
Well, fortunately, she comes back home, and the kids are right
relief.
There.
You know, and you can't help but think about, like, at that time in the news, moms were drowning their kids. I mean, there was a period of time where a couple of big news stories where moms were doing crazy crap like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God, what a crazy situation. It was just brutal. And then how'd you do the shot? Was it an effects plate shot? Wherever, like, we're on the girl, and then the water comes over.
Oh, yeah, that one we did with Ivan and the VFX gang. We did it. We knew we were going to do one. We couldn't actually, have the young lady in the car with it going underwater. So we put a dummy in there for parts of it. But all the close-ups, we said, all right, let's go this far and let it go. You know, and part of that was up on dry land. We just rolled the car because we were in so tight. We didn't have to actually do it by the... the into the river. So
are you able to, when you do something like that, just from the physics of it, are you aimed, is the car aimed downhill to give that sort of feeling that it's going away from you, or is that a camera angle?
It was actually a boat ramp that she drove down, so the it actually gave you the angle, and it was a little boat yard in the river down south of town there, and I don't know, south of the airport somewhere, I think it was. But it was already kind of built in, and it allowed for a nice slow drop into the water with the bubbles and all that coming up, and the lights going, the red lights underwater and all that, because we wanted it to go all the way down and have her watch it you know, so it's totally gone. But Kathleen.
Yeah, it looks very real. The water like envelops it.
It worked out pretty good. Yeah, I think overall.
Just hold that thought.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Connell from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer N.C. Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
We're coming right back. Thank you for supporting Supernatural then and now. And now, back to the show. You bring Lisa back a few times in future episodes. Was that always the plan?
I don't know. I don't think it's ever the plan on these one-off kind of episodes. But, you know, it was one of those things that she was such a hoot to work with. And so she was such a pro and so cool. I loved working with her. And she was game for most anything. So, I mean, it was... there's a little secret at the end there when they kiss. That wasn't scripted.
Which thing?
At the very, very end, when Dean, she says goodbye to Dean, she walks up to him and kisses him.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the script. I asked her beforehand, and we did it. We did Jensen's coverage first. I said
no way.
Go up and kiss him. She goes, hell yes. And I said, okay. I didn't tell Jensen it was going to happen. I just had her go up, and on his side, we shot that first, so we had his reaction in real time. You know, I like doing that to you guys, you actor guys, you know, give you something that you don't expect. And
all the episodes we've shot together, you never did that for me.
You never had to kiss Jensen.
Although in Phil's defense, there was one convention where he said, go on stage and kiss Rob. I remember him trying to, like, he's the bit of a matchmaker, that Phil.
Rich, we did the thing with you and Ruth where you were looking at each other and
yes,
you started doing it,
having thoughts.
Mind thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So funny.
That wasn't scripted, you know.
Not at all. In fact, not only was it not scripted, you barely gave us a heads up because I guess you wanted it really off the cuff.
It's part of the fun is to play on a tightrope a little bit, isn't it? You know,
I think you ended up using a fair amount of that stuff too.
Yeah, we did. But the kiss for Cindy was a total, like, let's see what happens. And Jensen, after he stayed right in, he stayed right with it. And then at the very end, after cut, he goes, so I guess we're using that take. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
That kiss wasn't planned, wasn't scripted.
And so you'd never have a reverse on him after that?
Yeah, we do.
I thought you said you'd already shot his coverage.
When she comes up and kisses him, and then we cut to his side for the back of it. That's his initial. That's his reaction. That's his.
They did that first.
Shot first, and then we did her side.
Here's a question. In your head, how do changelings work? Does the mother clone the children she captures? The evil mother?
The woman that was the real estate person.
Yeah.
She is like the queen bee, I guess. And
right.
Basically she goes in and gets the kid, steals the kid, creates the changeling to send back. So mom doesn't, and then the changelings feed off of the moms until they're no longer needed.
Wow.
So far this was all a fairly new, I don't know, hive. I don't know what you call them, but you know,
gander.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Gaggle,
flock,
pod, we can go on. But, you know, we found it very fortuitous that the construction that was going on in that neighborhood is actually was some of the real construction that we got to go in. And then we built part of that for the fight scene with the kids in the basement with the cages and stuff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, having watched a lot of your work, I noticed a lot of Phil-isms in the fight sequence where you would triple cut punches and things like that. Like
that was partly Tom McQuaid, our editor, Tom McQuaid. He would flip flop stuff and double punch and just to make it.
I love it.
Yeah. It's fun.
Explain to the audience what that means. Triple cut a punch.
If you're punching across the frame and you hit somebody once, you just add another closer shot of the same punch as it comes through again. So it's almost like you're getting punched twice.
Oh, wow.
A little what we call hyper-cutting a little. You take out the backswing, right? So you only have the fist coming forward, then you cut to the next shot and the fist is coming forward again. So it heightens the violence.
The violence.
And the rapidity of it. Like it's like, bam, bam. You just feel like it's an onslaught. Right.
Yeah,
Wow.
It's a series of jump cuts is what it is. So nothing continuity wise matches. It's just it's going in for the exclamation points of the fight instead of the dance of it.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a pure Phil-ism because
interesting.
A lot of that was Tom. He did great work for us.
You talked a lot about that when I was shadowing you, like about like how to make, you know, how to shoot impact shots, like get the momentum before and after. And then three in a row, like boom, bam, bam. Have them do it multiple times for that very reason, right? You know, the option.
It's all about momentum.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so we get a little more of Ruby, the woman stalking
Sam. Do
we
know her name is Ruby at this time of the show? We don't, right?
No, we don't.
I don't think so.
We don't. And this was, I think, Katie's second show.
Yeah. Now, do you know, was she mapped out for season three?
I think a little bit. I think there was a little bit. This was also the writer's strike year. So it kind of, I don't know if it fell apart or if they, you know, we only did 16 episodes instead of 22. So the stories all got compressed a bit. I think we tended to get more into a few more of the standalone kind of things. Whereas the boys are being chased by the FBI still. There was that kind of thing happening. We did that with Justin Bello. And then you had other stuff like the Ghostfacers episode that was kind of a standalone thing. But I think with Katie, it was kind of like they had some sort of plan with her to get her, you know, in multiple episodes. She wasn't going away. And I think that sets it up. It sets it up at the end of this episode, you know.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, and I really don't know what's going to happen.
I literally don't know what's going to happen
Dean's on a year, you know, he's got a year to live.
He's got a year to live. I know, we know. The series ends after season three.
To kill him.
Yeah, you know, this won't be the first time we bring this up, but you mentioned the writer's strike. During the filming of this season, the writers went on strike, and so it's a truncated season. At that time, I mean, I remember the writer's strike very well because everything shut down. Did you feel it coming? Were you aware this was going to be a short season?
I mean, you know, strikes happen. It's not good for anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, the strikes, when they do happen, if they go out for so a certain amount of time, you'll never make back the money you're losing. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I, you know, I mean, I'm in two guilds myself. So I understand it, but I never see it as the way to go, because you're going to have to talk to the other side at some point anyway. You know, in order to mm-hmm. come back to work, you have to agree to something. So it's right. a matter of how much, you know, muscle you have, or how much gumption. That's a word. Gumption.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, but in my head, we knew there was, and I'm not in the writer's room that much. I get kicked out a lot. you know, but as I recall, I think there was kind of apprehension, you know, that this might happen. But this was early on. We did go, you know, later. I know Ben Edlund had the Ghostfacers episode ready to go, but then they went out on strike. And so that got pushed to after the strike.
Oh, I see. So the strike happened in the middle of filming, yeah. And then you came back and finished.
Episode, whatever, Justin Bellow, that Sarah Gamble wrote. And it was supposed to be a bottle show where they're all stuck in a police station. I think it was Colorado. Maybe not. Anyway, but a bunch of demons surround it, and it becomes they have to defend themselves within the confines of a jail. So that was the last one we shot. And then we took off for a beat. And then when we came back, the Ghostfacers one, and I volunteered myself into that one. And that was the first one we shot after the writer's strike.
Interesting. Okay. For some reason, I thought that the series just stopped. And then the writer's strike happened. That was the end of season three.
No, we came back and we did, I think, whatever. I'd have to look at which number Justin Bellow was, but that's the one where we finished. And then the strike happened. And then when we came back, the Ghostfacers came back. Because I did two in a row within the season, which never.
And how long was the writer's strike? Like 2 months? At least.
Seems like it happened partly over the holidays and the new year, because we came back. I think we shot Ghostfacers after the new year, as I recall.
Hey, I have one more. I got to circle back to one more thing in the show before our time is up. When you were...
time never has to be up, Rich. Come on.
Thank you, Phil. See it, Rob? We can go on forever. The effect on the kids, like when mom sees the creepy kid in the rearview mirror with that brown fanged face, is that makeup?
No, that was all visual effects.
We talked about,
because part of their face changes, and then they get that weird mouth with all the teeth, because we needed to match the kind of the suction cup mark on the back of mom's necks.
There was
mom's, Kathleen's, and the other young lady we saw as the mom that Jared goes and sees as the insurance adjuster. But yeah, we tried to find that, and we, you know, and again, in Kripke's land, it's only show it if it's good. And so we never quite stayed with anything too long. It was always...
That's made it creepier, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's let your imagination run with it. So we just kept it, you know, short and sweet, or ugly, as we...
Well, that was an amazing effect. I mean, like, even a little girl moving towards mommy and her face morphing into that sucker face was scary, but the most horrific version was, you know, the reflection of Ben in the tabletop, and then little girl in the mirror, like, just horrific. And then the real estate agent in the glass, like, just a horrific effect. Just, it's unsuitable for television. Let this interview serve as an official complaint. So this is not okay.
Are you saying that you sleep with your eyes open now in case your kids...
I will now, Phil. Hey, Dad, what? I have a question. What? Get out. Get away from the mirror.
Get away from the mirror.
Well, it's an interesting thing, because it wasn't like they were like, you know, where are you going, Dad? It was that it was blanketed in I love you. It was like super needy child was what
it
was.
The only way I know that it's not happening to my house, because my kids are not pretending to give a shit right now. Nobody's saying, Dad, I want to hang out.
Dad, you got $20. I need $20.
That's exactly while walking away.
Dad, I have plans.
When you do that scary episode, then it'll really hit home.
Yeah.
It's just a fantastic episode, Phil. Everything you do on this show is, I mean, you're so flipping good that it makes me want to quit the business. I love watching your stuff. It's so good.
Come on.
Truly, though, like,
because you never, because you never throw it away.
So good. And this,
you never throw it away. You put everything into every episode you do, every shot you do, every scene that goes on. And
you're
just so
clever.
It's great.
And it's, you know, this episode, this season starts with Kim Anders and then you, and it's a powerful combo of outstanding directing. So, man, just great episode. You just raised the bar on creepy as hell kids.
Well, good. Then my work is done.
Or is it?
Or is it? My work might not be done. No.
Dude, thank you so much for coming and doing these things. You're such a great interview.
Hey, really anytime. I'm always available unless I'm not.
I was over at the Post Sound doing ADR for Winchester's, and your son sent the hello, but I guess he wasn't there when I was there, but he's still loving it over there, right?
Yeah, he's over in the sound department at Warner Brothers. He's he's in the guild. He's a recording engineer for like all the loop group stuff, looping.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's doing good. So
that's great, man.
Happy for him.
Yeah, I'm really glad you didn't put him in the sedan and let the emergency brake go, thinking he was a changeling.
He'd say, "Dad, get back in the car."
Hey, this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We are going to take a quick break.
Hey, everybody. Richard Speight Jr. here. And if you know one thing about this guy, it's that I love boots. I wear them all the time. And that's why I love Tecovas, because they are the real deal. These boots are Austin designed, Texas tested, and handmade down in the bootmaking capital of the world, León, Mexico. Tecovas are all about style, comfort, and tradition. And they're not just about boots. Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples, like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans to go with your boots, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it, they got it, and they will get you outfitted. Tecovas believes in Western for all, and you can feel it when you go into the store. You'll walk in, you're going to be greeted like family. Unless you don't like your family, in which case you'll be greeted by people nicer than your family. They'll offer you a boot shine, unless you're wearing sandals, and they'll even hand you a drink. And it'll be the hard stuff if that's what you want. Rob Benedict, I'm looking at you. And right then and there, you can get custom fitted for a brand new pair of boots. You can even get custom leather stamping or branding that'll make those brand new boots truly one of a kind. All you gotta do is stop by Tecovas and get into your new boots today. But Rich, I can't make it into a store. They got you covered. Just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So get on over to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, it's Jeffrey D. Morgan again. Welcome back to the podcast.
I'm going to go ahead and say it before you that I actually thought that was a great interview.
Well, point counterpoint, Robert. I thought it was a train wreck. No, I always love having Phil because he's just a wealth of information. Super fun, super funny. Unbelievable grip on the details of something he shot 18 years ago. I mean, he's like the guy who walked across the street and said that one line. You mean Carlos? Yeah, he was great. He remembers everybody.
No, he remembers everything. And you know what's great is like I was up in Toronto working and Phil and I went out to dinner a few times and he tells these stories just when you're hanging out with him, you know what I mean? You'll be like tell the story and he's like, "Ah, you know, I remember one time we did." It's great stories.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to having him back to find out more because he directed a couple of great episodes for this season that I haven't seen yet.
Right.
Let's get into a section of the show that I'd like to call mythology.
Mythology.
Changelings come from mostly European folklore. Typically, they are babies or small children switched out with fairies or demons. The human children are taken back to the fairy world to work or feed upon or to hell as a tithe.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So the human children are either taken back to the fairy world to work or to be fed upon, or they're taken to hell as a tithe.
There's lots of different choices there.
I'll do the work. I don't want to be a tithe in hell.
I don't want to be fed upon.
Hey, Satan, I owe you this little guy. You know, let this hold you over until next time. Or I don't want to be fed upon. No, thank you. Hard pass. Bummer for the kids.
What would be a methods of defeating a changeling?
Well, just off the cuff here, I have a couple of ideas. One, I would beat the false baby.
I'm sorry. We're just checking my records here. Did you just say beat the false baby?
I'd beat the false baby.
Okay.
Obviously, I'd beat the false baby. I'd beat the baby that wasn't a real baby. The kid that was pretending to be the kid that had been taken over by the fairy, the demon. Beat the snot out of that little twit.
Right.
And then that would bring the fairies out to rescue it.
Yeah.
Maybe the demons too. And then they would return, maybe, if you're lucky, the human child to say, quit beating our fairy or demon baby. Take your own baby and beat your own baby. But
what's
the joke is on them
that?
Because you don't actually beat your own baby. I'm saying? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't really beat your own baby. You're pretending to be a guy who beats babies. And you beat up their baby, who's a synth baby, a pseudo baby. And
in some communities, it's illegal to do that in public.
What? what quote-unquote land of laws are you referring to? But here's another idea I have. So I'm just spitballing here.
Okay.
You just threaten the violence on the baby, like with, I don't know, you have an iron sitting around. Do you iron your clothes? Or anything made of iron, anything. Okay. You're literally going to knock the skull off the baby. And then the demons or the fairies show up and go, whoa, 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 whoa. You're unhinged, bro. We're taking our false baby out of here and give you back your own baby that you can beat senseless. And then you go, ha ha, I'm not going to beat my own baby. That was a ruse. And you fell for it, fairies or demons. If the aggression's a little much, if you don't like where I'm going to that, here's a softer approach. Get the baby to tell you its real name by scaring it. You know, it's raw. It's waddling around the corner and you go, Boo, tell me your real name, baby.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
You're like, Boo, Boo. And he's like, Larry.
And you go, aha, I knew you weren't my son, Chuck. So
you get it to reveal its name or age by startling it. Boo, 13.
I mean, you know, every time you startle me, I'm like, Rich Face Jr. Oh, hey Rob. I don't know. That's a weird one. Anyway, I got a lot.
Also, if you don't want to be like rude to a lady, but you want to see how old she is, you could just go Boo, and maybe she'd be like 37.
She'll shout out her age? That is not even.
Yeah, it says.
Oh, it does say
it might reveal its name or age by startling it.
Why does his age help us? Oh, you can go, aha, you're not 3. You're actually 19.
Right.
You lying fairy demon baby.
Yeah.
But at that point, I know I appreciate the least aggressive approach here, but once you now know the changeling's name and real age, that doesn't give you your baby back. Now you just go, well, now I've got a baby that looks like my baby, but this baby's actually 27 and named Enrique. So what do I do with this?
Get baby back, baby back, baby back. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, it's time. Now that's over, and it's time for...
Those were pretty fun, but we're going to get even more fun going on here.
Even more fun. More fun. Fun facts.
Fun facts. Fun facts.
The title of the episode comes from an album and a song by The Who.
I don't mind, but I got with my girl. He with my girl.
That's right. And there's Rich covering song by The Who.
The kids are all right. When Sam is researching Mary's friends, he asks about Robert Campbell, who died on July 19th, 2001. July 19th is Jared Padalecki's birthday.
What?
Yeah, exactly. 2001 is the number of times Jared has tried to get us fired. yeah, but his birthday is July 19th. And I know you know that. And I also know that. So any fans who think we don't know our buddy's birthdays are liars.
That's right. Ben, the name of Dean's speculated son in this episode, is also the name of a character played by Jensen Ackles in season 1 of Dark Angel.
Oh, what a quinky dink. Yeah. Katie's mom is shown reading The Historian by Elizabeth Kostrova. This 2005 novel is a retelling of Dracula.
Interesting.
Er Dracul Nosferatu, which in Spanish means our Feratu.
See, you learn a lot. It does. Listen to this podcast.
It does. For Espanol amigos.
That's right. Well, those were certainly fun facts. And this was certainly a great episode. A great episode of the podcast. Great episode of the Supernatural.
It's such a good episode. Isn't it a creepy, creepy show? Well done, Phil Zagrisha, on creeping the daylights out of everybody. And great, great job by the cast. Kathleen Monroe, Cindy Sampson. Man, just great actress. Great actresses, a lot of them. They just crushed it.
Yeah. All right. This episode of Supernatural features Jared Padalecki as Sam Winchester and Jensen Ackles as Dean Winchester.
Guest stars include the fantastically talented Cindy Sampson, the woman who knocked it out of the park, Kathleen Monroe, Nicholas Elia, and Katie Cassidy.
The Kids Are All Right was written by Sarah Gamble and directed by Phil Zagrisha.
Editing by Tom McQuaid. Music by Jay Gruska.
Executive produced by Eric Kripke and Robert Singer.
The original broadcast of this episode featured the following songs. Nothing. You don't get nothing, people. Put a little more work into it and we'll tell you what songs it featured. Otherwise, sit down and shut up.
You had one job.
You couldn't do it, people listening. God, I get so tired of our listeners.
This episode originally aired on October 11th, 2007.
October 11th? That's the date where I broke both my arms. Years ago, I broke my arms on October 11th.
Good to know. Yeah. Wish I would have known that at Fun Facts.
Yeah.
This episode of Supernatural Then and Now was hosted and executive produced by Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Bennett.
Produced by Stephen Hine. Written by Stephen Hine and Haida Holzer.
And edited and associate produced by Trey Booth.
How about that, buddy?
Music provided by Tim Wynn.
This episode was recorded with the help of Sonic Fuel Studios.
This podcast is from Story Mill Media.
Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter, won't you? At SPN Then and Now.
And become a member of the podcast at www.patreon.com/SPN Then and Now. Well, are you ready to talk about episode 2, season 3?
Which one was that?
Beat the False Baby.
I'd beat the False Baby.
Okay.
obviously... That means masturbate. No, what I mean is, I think I lost Rob.
I've got a gardener outside my window.
What, gardening the sunset? I mean, what do you garden out of that image? Katie's mon, which is short for Monday, I assume.
Monday.
I think it's probably Katie's supposed Monday. To be mom.
This episode of Supernatural features Jared Padalecki as Wynn.
Wow.
I'm so tired.
As Wynn Samchester? Oh, man.
Story Mill Media.